Hare Krishna. So we'll continue our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 13. Today we will read from text 9 to text 11, which is on the board. Before we speak, I'd like to offer my respects to all the Vaishnavas in the temple room and who are listening out there, and I want to beg the blessings of all the senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, gurus that are present. And hopefully we can share a little something from Srimad Bhagavatam, which will bring us a bit of happiness in the heart. So I'll read the translation of text 9 and 10, and then we'll chant together text 11. Text 9. The chapter is called Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. Among the cowherd boys, some place their lunch on flowers, some on leaves, fruits, or bunches of leaves, some actually in their baskets, some on the bark of trees, and some on rocks. This is what the children imagined to be their plates as they ate their lunch. 10. Translation to text 10. All the cowherd boys enjoyed their lunch with Krishna, showing one another the different tastes of the different varieties of preparations they had brought from home. Tasting one another's preparations, they began to laugh and make one another laugh. So there's a short purport there by Srila Prabhupada. Purport. Sometimes one friend would say, Krishna, see how my food is relishable. And Krishna would take some and laugh. Similarly, Balaram, Sudama, and other friends would taste one another's food and laugh. In this way, the friends very jubilantly began to eat their respective preparations brought from home. So text 11. Translation. Krishna is Yajna Bhuk, that is, he eats only offerings of Yajna. But to exhibit his childhood pastimes, he now sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his tight cloth on his right side, and with his horn bugle and cow driving stick on his left. Holding in his hand a very nice preparation of yogurt and rice with pieces of suitable fruit between his fingers, he sat like the whirl of a lotus flower, looking forward toward all his friends, personally joking with them and creating jubilant laughter among them as he ate. At that time, the denizens of heaven were watching, struck with wonder at how the personality of Godhead, who eats only in Yajna, was now eating with his friends in the forest. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada, Ki. When Krishna was eating with his cowherd boyfriends, a certain bumblebee came there to take part in the eating. Thus Krishna joked, why have you come to disturb my Brahmana friend Madhu Mangal? You want to kill a Brahmana? That is not good. All the boys would laugh and enjoy, speaking such joking words while eating. Thus the inhabitants of the higher planets were astonished at how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who eats only when Yajna is offered, was now eating like an ordinary child with his friends in the forest. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta kanchana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patita Nam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and the Calves, Text 9 to 11. Translations, once again. Among the cowherd boys, some place their lunch on flowers, some on leaves, fruits, or bunches of leaves. Some actually in their baskets, some on the bark of trees, and some on rocks. This is what the children imagined to be their plates as they ate their lunch. All the cowherd boys enjoyed their lunch with Krishna, showing one another the different tastes of the different varieties of preparations they had brought from home. Tasting one another's preparations, they began to laugh and make one another laugh. Krishna is Yajna Bhuk, that is, he eats only offerings of Yajna, but to exhibit his childhood pastimes, he now sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his tight cloth on his right side, and with his horn bugle and cow driving stick on his left, holding in his hand a very nice preparation of yogurt and rice, with pieces of suitable fruit between his fingers. He sat like the whirl of a lotus flower, looking forward toward all his friends, personally joking with them and creating jubilant laughter among them as he ate. At that time, the denizens of heaven were watching, struck with wonder, at how the personality of Godhead, who eats only in Yajna, was now eating with his friends in the forest. Srimad Bhagavatam is transporting us to a scene that is happening in the forest, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is enjoying with his cowherd friends. It is around noontime, and the boys would all bring some tiffin from home to eat in the forest. And they would sit around Krishna, naturally, because Krishna is the center of all the activities in Vrindavan. He is the life and soul of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the boys. They live for Krishna. And Krishna being all attractive, this is what we hope to discuss, is that if Krishna is all attractive, as his name describes, then where are we in being attracted to Krishna? Are we finding him all attractive? And also, what does it take to come to this position where one can sit like this and eat with Krishna and share joking words with Krishna? As George Harrison has written in the preface of Krishna book, that if there's God, I'd like to see him, like to meet him, not to shake his hand. Preferably also share some prasadam with him. So this is generally a desire that is there within the heart of the living being, is that we hear a lot about God from cradle to the grave. There's a God somewhere, there's a home where we belong. But then we would generally like to know and meet that person, see the face of the Lord. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are being transported to that situation where some living beings are interacting with Krishna face to face. They are seeing his smiling face, and they are hearing his supreme jokes. There's many comedians in this world. They fill up auditoriums and stadiums, and people pay money just to get a laugh for an hour or an hour and a half. So this enjoying joking words is natural. But it comes originally from the personality of Godhead. He has it in fullness. And part of that exchange with Krishna is that one gets a chance to hear Krishna's jokes. We hear in the purport, Prabhupada cites one such joke that as they were eating and Krishna, he speaks to a bumblebee, imaginary or real, that why have you come here? Have you come to kill my Brahmana friend? Because Madhu Mangal, Madhu also means like sweet, or like a bee also. So in this way, the friends, they laugh, enjoying Krishna's company. In the material world where we find ourselves, unfortunately, is that we are also looking for some sort of taste to enjoy. This is called rasa. Prabhupada translates mellow or humor. So every activity that we do, we are inspired to experience some enjoyment, some relish, some taste. But on the material platform, the tastes generally lead to sorrow because they come and go. On the spiritual platform, they simply increase one's ability to taste that happiness and increase one's joy. So Krishna, his main business is to create opportunities for the living beings to enjoy his company and become happier and happier. His main business is to revel and relish in loving exchanges. As Brahma has testified in Brahma Samhita, Alola Chandra Kala Sadvanamaya Vangsi, Ratnangadam Pranaya Keli Kala Vilasam. So the Supreme Lord Krishna, he is Pranaya Keli Vilasam. He is always situated in exchanges of love. And he himself, he relishes this. This is his pleasure to exchange with his devotees. So we are explained to be eternally part and parcels of Krishna. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. So it is our birthright to be situated in this relationship with Krishna. But having this material body and mind, then we find ourselves distracted, misdirected in trying to find that type of relationship in the transient world of material bodies. And therefore we are robbed of what we are looking for. It is kind of like if you had to have someone who was super rich, millionaire, billionaire. Example is given, say he gets amnesia or she gets amnesia. And then they are pauper in the street. And then they feel hunger in the belly. And naturally when they start to think of something to eat, they will be thinking about some super opulent food that they used to eat at a fancy place. But now being a pauper on the street cannot afford such food. So we are, as spiritual beings, looking for what belongs to us on the spiritual platform. Unending love, deathlessness, unending knowledge. These are not available to us on the bodily concept of life on the material platform. Just like the type of food that the pauper who was once a millionaire is now daydreaming of. But these things are natural because on the spiritual platform, they are a natural position to experience. So we have to take up this process of waking up from the false position of thinking we are this material body and trying for things that belong to us on the spiritual platform materially, and therefore falling short. So it is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book Chaitanya Shikshamrita that there are these four stages that come about as one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That initially there is out of fear, as in the Christian world also it says that the beginning of knowledge is fear of God. So it's not really like that type of fear that maybe we open the curtain and we see Radha Gokulananda and become like, oh, Radha Gokulananda. But it is to respect the Supreme Lord. then one can begin to approach the Supreme Lord, understanding his position as the all in all. So from this fear of the Lord, then one acts. You know, if I don't do, maybe God will punish me. So then we approach the Lord. He explains, second is out of desire. We may want something. So we may try with our own facility, with our own connections, and we may get only so far. And then we think, okay, there is a person, the supreme person, Krishna, he's connected to everything. Maybe I should approach him to fulfill my desires. So out of that inspiration, people approach the Supreme Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains further, one may approach the Lord out of duty. This is a little better, in that one appreciates that already the Supreme Lord is doing so much for me. It's just like oxygen. We even forget that it's there. We just breathe in and out. And if you consider, without oxygen, how long can we sustain our lives in these bodies? Not so long. Water. These are given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's not standing around to remind us, I'm giving you oxygen, worship me. It's not like that. He's giving. In this world, we give, but we're very ready to remind the person who we gave. Sometimes it's an investment, you know, business. I treat you very nicely, but I'm expecting that you will treat me nicely in return. And if you don't, then I get annoyed or I remind you. But duty means that now we see that the Lord is taking care, and we feel that it is only right to honor him, to respect him, to worship him. So then we reciprocate on that level. So this is the process of sadhana bhakti in Krishna consciousness. That the living being, we are not already spontaneously in love with Krishna or willing to serve Krishna from the last platform, which is explained as love. Out of love, naturally, one wants to please the beloved. But then, on the level of duty, is that somehow or the other, we have received some good fortune. Krishna has given us some good fortune. Guru Krishna Prasad, Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. By the mercy of the devotee, we get Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, we get a devotee, a guru. And this stops all this wandering that we've been doing in this material world. So we get that opportunity. But then the discipline that is necessary to rise from duty to love is where the challenge comes from. Because it is not spontaneous as yet. It is like sadhana bhakti would mean cleaning the heart. So if you had to clean this temple every day, which some devotees are doing, when you come, maybe you come just looking for spiritual life. Like I thought, when I met the devotees, that we'll read the books and maybe a month or two we'll be self-realized. But then it didn't work like that. All of a sudden, there were words like the causeless mercy of the Lord. Like, what? Causeless mercy? And then there was devotional service. Prabhu, please clean this floor. Prabhu, please take the trash out. I imagined something different. So cleaning may not be very nice. We may not be happily doing it. But out of duty, we do it. And later, as we're hearing that the goddess of fortune is still cleaning. Why is she cleaning in Vaikuntha? There is no dirt. Yeah. But because of love for her Lord, she wants to take care of the place. So from our dutiful and often grudging platform of cleaning, also we are trying to clean the heart by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, by accepting a spiritual master, by engaging in this mission, preaching, fundraising. So many activities are there. So all of this is to bring us to the platform of love. But it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Krishna has a specific preference in love. He's not so much attracted by this love where there's awe and veneration. It is said there, Aishwarya Gyana Pradanye Sankuchita Priti, that the knowledge of Krishna's opulent position, of his grandeur, of his majesty, of him being the supreme, it shrinks love. It makes love a low, unattractive for Krishna. We have many examples of this. We see how when the Lord appeared in the jail cell of Kamsa. So to preach to the world and to remove the doubts, he came as Narayan, four-armed form, fully dressed, with all the bling necessary for the Supreme Lord. And so then Devaki and Vasudev were immediately, you know, worshipping Bhagavan. And then he understood, now I'm coming as your child. This won't work. You know, if I'm the Supreme Lord and you are worshipping me, then parental love doesn't flow. Then he assumed a human-like form. Obviously, the Lord is never like a human being, but he assumes a form that seems to be also subject to harm, as our forms are in this material world. And then there they could try to deal with him as the personality who is their own child. Also in Vrindavan, we see when Krishna had performed some mischief. Remember that Krishna's business is to create facility for enjoying love. So also his mischief is part of that program. He ate some dirt, and then the boys told on him to Mother Yashoda that Krishna has eaten some dirt. She was upset, naturally. She spent so much time happily preparing so many lovely sweets for Krishna's enjoyment, and now he's eating dirt. And so she came to examine, Krishna, have you eaten some dirt? He's a child, you know. I didn't eat any dirt. No, but Balaram and your friend said you have. No, they are making up stories. And then Krishna himself proposed to Mother Yashoda, if you don't believe me, you look in my mouth. He thought he would use reverse psychology on her. That if he says it first, you look in my mouth, then she'll think, oh, he wouldn't say this if he had eaten dirt. But Mother Yashoda is smarter. Generally, the parents are. You know, as we grow, we think that we know so much more than our parents. But experience can be a great teacher. And so they may know. So anyway, she didn't go for his trick, and she said, you open your mouth. And then she looked into Krishna's mouth. And then in Krishna's mouth, she saw the entire cosmic manifestation, the planets, the devas. She saw also Vrindavan. And she saw herself looking into Krishna's mouth. And she got completely bewildered. What is this? Has someone put some spell on me? But very quickly, by the agency of Yoga Maya, she snapped out of it. No, this is just my boy. So there was so much awe and veneration. She understood Krishna's position. But because of her love for Krishna, that was immediately removed. Immediately she came back to this position of feeling, no, he's just my boy. So this is also the work of Yoga Maya. This energy of the Lord Maya works in two ways. The Yoga Maya is to facilitate those who are already in relationship with the Lord, and she works towards us as Maya, Mahamaya. Queen Kunti has testified to this in the Bhagavatam. She says, Maya Javanika Chanam Agya Doksha Jamavyayam. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Adokshaja. So he's beyond the range of our material sense perception. So in one sense, we cannot blame all the people who deny the existence of God because they have put so much faith in the material senses. Where is he? I can see him. I never heard him say anything to me. But they don't know that he's beyond the range of the material senses. And this Maya Javanikachana means there's a curtain. Just like there's a curtain here. But when the curtain opens, then we see Radha Gokula Nanda, we see Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gauranitai. Our seeing is also based on what we have heard. Because if the eyes have not been purified by love, then we may not really see the Lord as he is. We may see that it's a beautiful representation of the Lord. But the pure devotee sees this is Krishna directly. So, agya means we're born in ignorance. What do we know? And then Krishna is adokshaja. He's beyond the range of sense perception. And he's unlimited avyayam. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gauranitai Ki Jai. So how will the conditioned soul be able to verify the existence of the Lord based on his mature senses, considering these obstacles Queen Kunti has revealed? It is practically impossible. But beginning with a bit of faith after hearing from the devotees, then one may practice the necessary process to purify the senses so that one day we can see the Lord as he is in his transcendental position. Because Krishna has said, Naham prakasha savasya, yogamaya samavita, mudoyam nabijanati, loko jam avam. Again, I don't reveal myself to the foolish and unintelligent. This is Krishna's straight talk. All conditioned souls, they are foolish and unintelligent. Oh, Krishna, how could you say this? No, this is, if you love someone, you tell them the truth. Someone's walking on a roof, about to fall off the roof of a building. If you want to show care, you have to at least scream, hey, you're about to fall off. But in today's world, it says, okay, you know, don't disturb people. You know, what's good for them may not be good for you. So if you use that thinking, ah, maybe he's enjoying, you know, walking off the roof may be good for him. And each to his own, you know. That doesn't work. And Krishna is not that type of God. He's a loving father. He's a loving friend. So he tells us, because of your foolishness and because of your lack of proper intelligence, I never manifest myself. So then how? How then do we get to see Krishna? It comes back to this process of bhakti. And the scene that we're seeing here is the height of perfected bhakti. Krishna has said, Bhaktya Twanyaya Shaktya Evamaham Ajunavido Gyatum Drastum Cha Tatvena Pravestum Cha Parantapa. Only by devotional service can I be seen as I am. Can one enter into the mysteries of my existence? So when we step by step cleanse the heart, even though it may be difficult, because it is, the mind is saying, sleep a little longer. You know, the mind is saying, why doesn't Bhakta so-and-so do the service? The mind is saying, chant five rounds now, you'll chant five in the afternoon and five in the evening. The mind is not just running towards Krishna, but the mind is running towards the previous impressions of sense enjoyment. That it's verified. I know how that feels. That I enjoyed. So as we are going through this process of cleansing the heart, we can purify the senses. As it is said that Sevon Mukehi Jivado Soyam Eva Spuratadya. By the service, then beginning with the tongue, then we can be able to purify the senses and begin to have an opportunity to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this type of friendship that these coward boys are experiencing is the perfection of life. It's the perfection of life. They can eat with Krishna, they can joke with Krishna. Their love now makes them see Krishna as an equal. They don't consider him superior to them. This is what love does. Prabhupada would give example of the president of a country. So when we deal with the president, even there's some press conference, you know, everyone is saying, Mr. President, Mr. President. But at home, you know, he may have some pet name by the wife. The children may make him giddy up and they can ride on his back. They don't think of him as, you know, the head statesman. So love, it removes all that formality. And that type of love, you know, Krishna is enjoying. Many examples we see in also in Bhagavad Gita of this principle, that Arjuna is apologizing to Krishna. I was saying, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi. I thought you were just my friend, but now I'm seeing actually you're such a powerful being. The Lord showed his universal form. And Arjuna, obeisances from the front, from the back, from all sides. Oh, Lord of unbounded power. What a switch. You know, he's telling him, you go this way, you go that way during the war, instructing him. Arjuna says, sometimes when we're late, we probably was just a passing guest with Krishna there. He saw him as his friend. And later he realized, how have I been dealing with the Supreme Lord like this? So there we see that the friendship out of love made them equals. But as soon as there was knowledge of Krishna's opulent grandeur, then immediately the love became formal and worshipful. Also, when Brahma came to apologize, or is it Indra? They offered arti to Krishna. And they had huge incense and everything, and the coward boys were at a distance, they watched. And Krishna, he was just kind of had his head down, you know, just like, so get it done, you know. And okay, yes, yes, don't do it again, you know. And then his friends came. Ha, Krishna, you're a big man, huh? You've got some demigods coming to worship you. Nah. They get the incense stick and they're holding it. It must be some big heavenly one. They're holding it and they're swinging it around Krishna. Krishna's getting embarrassed. Stop it. He's happier like that. Palambasura was killed like that. They're playing as boys. Whoever loses, he carries the other one on the back. Krishna's team loses and he has to carry Sudama. Balaram had to carry this demon had to carry him and try to take him away. So who can put the Lord on his back like that? Only those who love him completely. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. When there's love, then there's nothing impossible. So this love, it overrides this formal situation. So Krishna's greatness is not his power, but his sweetness. And here we see, because of his sweetness, he's really all attractive. Prabhupada would say, everyone says that God is great, but they don't know how great he actually is. So his greatness is not because he's all powerful, all knowing, but his greatness is that he's controlled by the love of his devotees. And in that relationship with his devotees who love him, he's so sweet. He's so sweet. This is the Lord whom we are trying to worship, as Lord Brahma has testified. Shamam Chibanga Lalita Niyata Prakasham Govinda Maripurusham Tamam Bhajami. This Govinda is whom I adore, who has a nice garland swinging on his neck, who's got his neck like a conch shell, who's reveling in pastimes of love. His three-band form is so attractive. So we are encouraged, knowing and hearing from Bhagavatam, that this is possible, that the Lord, who only eats in yagya, can also eat and joke while eating. The etiquette says, in our practicing stage, you shouldn't make, you know, laughter and chit-chat while honoring prasadam. And now Krishna, he's breaking all that etiquette. What's the etiquette? This is happiness and love. So we are attracted to this, and we pray to the Lord and his devotees that we'll be protected by the Lord in his form of the holy name. By chanting this holy name, then everything will become possible. This is our faith. If we have the holy name on our side, then we will also meet Krishna, shake his hand, see him with some yogurt rice in his hand, see his charming face, hear his funny jokes, raise him, you know, put a fake fruit in his mouth, it's a flower, see him chew and see him spit, thinking, oh. It's all attractive. It's Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, the key. Go Premanande. Very well.